Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 24th of July. I'm Paul White. It's a Friday. It is not long form Friday. I am simply going to go into an Old Testament text today. Actually, today and tomorrow, maybe even the next day. I want to talk about some verses I've been reading as I'm going through various Old Testament passages. I just read the book of Judges again. I remember doing some work on Judges when I was in grad school. Read a really good one produced by Barrett and Olam called Judges. And I just remember really being so taken with the power of these stories. I was telling my wife the other day, I had just had a little session of reading, and I said, man, you know, if you didn't know Jesus and what was coming, these stories, some of them would be discouraging. But even knowing Jesus and what's coming, I sometimes walk away from those stories and Judges and say, the best thing I got out of that story was, don't do this. Like, you get a story of something terrible happening, and then the story ends, and you think, what should I take from that? Don't do what that guy did. Yeah, that's the best thing you can take from it. In all seriousness, one thing, what you can and should take from it is something that surfaces again and again. I would tell you to read the book of Judges just to see how many times this happens, but it's a book you don't want to tackle lightly, that's for sure. And you probably don't want to tackle without having some pretty firm foundation in the new covenant, because there's some pretty powerful stuff. But I do want to show you a verse that to me is what is up with the book of Judges. It's the last verse of the last chapter of Judges. Judges 21:25. And I should have underlined them as I went through the book of Judges, but I mean over and over in the book, this verse is stated one way or the other. And it's this. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Repeatedly, Judges says, there was no king, everyone did what was right. There was no king, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And part of the reason for that is because people who were reading Judges would have been reading it during the era of kings, looking back on it thinking, gosh, what was Israel like when there was no king? It could have been a bit of a propaganda piece for the monarchy of Israel. Like, hey, you want to know how bad it is when there's no king? Check this out. It also could have just been a way of framing the history. Like, let me show you what happened in that period between the death. Because really what we're dealing with is the period between the death of Joshua and the rise of Samuel, the final judge, and really what happens between Joshua and Saul, because Saul's the first king, Samuel's the last judge, though Samuel is not included in the book of Judges. So it's almost as if the book exists to show you Israel's history in that gap between the death of Joshua, who of course was the successor to Moses, and then the arrival of the kings, and it's a bad period. And I had long ago underlined in my Bible the phrase from verse 25, everyone did what was right in his own eyes, and wrote off to the side, this is the end result of grace without the Holy Spirit. And the reason that I wrote that is because, to me, what happens to Israel once Joshua dies and they get into the land, they have arrived at the place they want to go. I'm going to use a phrase I'm probably using incorrectly, but I think you'll understand what I mean. They've arrived at the finished work. Their entire journey was to get into the promised land. They get there. That doesn't mean they've got it all, but they've arrived at the promised land. And they, right at the edge of the promised land, way back in Deuteronomy, God had given them prescribed places of worship. And one of the things that Moses says to them on his way out, this is Deuteronomy 12:8, You shall not at all do as we're doing here today, every man doing whatever's right in his own eyes. For as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. Did you hear that? We're not just going to do whatever's right in our own eyes because we haven't come into the place of rest and inheritance. So even by Moses' own admission, when they get into the place of rest and inheritance, which was the promised land, then they would be laxed a little bit on the structures and strictures that have been placed on them as they journeyed through the wilderness. This very difficult time between the Red Sea and arriving at the promised land. They lived there for 40 years. Think of our inheritance as a place of rest. When we come to the place of rest, that's new covenant inheritance. We are going to need a guide. And so to me, what happens is when you come into a place of rest, that's inheritance, that's grace. If we were to enter that place without an internal plumb line called the Holy Spirit, without the Parakletos, without He who walks alongside and helps us, if we were to do that, then the end result would be do whatever's right in your own eyes, because grace would free you to do whatever's right in your own eyes. But the message of grace, void of the message of the Holy Spirit, is as dangerous as the message of Judges. You're in the land, do the best you can do, and you're going to make some really stupid decisions. So I don't think it's right to teach the message of grace without the identification of the Holy Spirit. Israel had basically, by the time the book of Judges, abandoned the law, but they don't have the finished work of Christ. Therefore, they're not really fully into the new covenant. You and I have abandoned the law, but we have the finished work of Christ. Therefore, we have the new covenant. And what is the centerpiece of that covenant? The Holy Spirit. The law was to the old covenant what the Holy Spirit is to the new covenant. So you can't abandon the Holy Spirit. So we have to listen to His voice at every turn, or we'll end up doing what's right in our own eyes. And if you want to know how bad that is, then I encourage you to read the book of Judges, because it's bad. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow, I do some of the same kind of work from Ruth. Something jumped out at me in chapter 1. I want to talk to you about it. See you then. God bless.